Welcome to Weir's Barbecue here on 101.9. Wow, that was too long. Welcome everybody to Weir's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. With me to my left for a continuing run here.
Yeah, it's the fourth week in a row, I think.
Wow, you're...
Can't do next week, though, so this will be it for a little while.
God damn it. Tyler Noble, CITR Sports Director. Tyler, how you doing today?
Doing all right, Daryl.
Well, lots to get into on the show. We've got women's volleyball, women's field hockey, men's football, but we're going to start off with a team that got their season underway last weekend at the University of Regina. They will have their home opener this Friday and Saturday versus a Manitoba team that is looking very good. Head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, Milan Dragasevic. Coach, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. Had a good practice today, and we need a couple other good ones to play Manitoba Friday.
Did you mind the Scooby-Doo intro there? Was that...
I thought you guys are great.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you. Milan Dragasevic, head coach, UBC men's hockey with us. Coach, tell us about the weekend. 4-1 win in Regina on the Friday. You got outshot a lot in that game. Your goalie, Francois Thouault, looked like he played very good. And then a 3-2 shootout loss on Saturday, so you got 3 out of the 4 points. Your assessment of the weekend?
You know, I thought we came out really hard on Friday night. We scored 2 goals, I believe, in the first 7 minutes and jumped on them and never really looked back. When they pressured us, some of their shots or a lot of their shots came from the outside. I thought our defense did a pretty good job of clearing out rebounds. And we played better in the second and third period on Friday. You know, we were fortunate. Campos got a couple of really goal-scoring goals, and what I mean by that is, you know, he picked the spots and he shot, and that's what goal scorers do, and we've been waiting for Campos to do that, and he did that in scoring 2 goals, and Frankie Thouault made some really good saves. Defense and penalty killing were really strong in front of him. Saturday, I actually thought, for the most part, we played better on Saturday than we did the whole game on Friday. Is just, but somehow the score doesn't show it. But you know, we kept them to 8 shots in the last 2 periods on Saturday night. But you know, we just couldn't score. We had enough opportunities, especially in the shootout overtime. We had a power play with 2 minutes left to go in a game, and we could not find the back of the net. And I give the Regina a lot of credit. Their goalie was outstanding on Saturday night. Overall, if you would have said before the weekend, would we have taken 3 out of 4? We probably would have taken that, but when you're that close, you definitely want the 4 out of 4.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned Brandon Campos, 2 goals and an assist on the weekend. Dalton Pajak is line mate, 3 assists. Your top line, assess their play, Justin McCray, Tyler Rule, and Jeff Lynch, who's going to be on with us shortly. Justin McCray got his first CIS goal in that game, on the Saturday game.
Yeah, and he scored the game-tying goal early in the third period in power play, which we, you know, they're a good line. And what I like about them is we can play them against the opposition's top lines, and I don't mind if they play against the opposition's checking lines. These guys are going to see a lot of ice. They all penalty kill. They play power play, and they play a lot of crucial minutes and a lot of defensive zone situations as well. So there are 3 power forwards that finish their checks, that work extremely hard, and they all play their natural side. So Jeff's a lefty, and Tyler's a righty. And And I like that because it's easier to chip pucks off the wall and come down speed on your natural side.
And on the Friday night, one thing that had to be nice for you was you got goals out of three lines. So your assessment of Jordan Ingles, Brendan Sonny, and the newcomer Scott Wasden from Medicine Hat, your assessment of their role as the third line.
You're right. Anytime that you can get contributions from all your lines, that's the most important. And I've always said that we have to score by committee, and that's what we did. Especially on Friday night, and that's one of the reasons why we were successful. We need Scott Wasden's line with Jordan Ingles and Brendan Sonny to be a forechecking line, to be a presence, to be in their face, to get greasy goals. And if they can contribute a couple of goals every weekend, we'll be fine.
And your assessment, touch on Justin McCray, but you know, you've got your three rookies all playing on three different lines, and Max Grassi on the second line, Justin McCray, and Scott Wasden on the third line. Your assessment of how those players really fit in on the weekend?
Well, they all bring us something different. Max Grassi is a highly skilled one-on-one player, and what I mean by that is he likes to attack with a lot of speed. He likes to control the puck in the corners. He's probably our best player at keeping the puck and walking out of the corner from the cycle. And he's very dangerous from that, and he makes his line mates better because he attracts attention and then dishes it off. And I really like that about Max. And Scott Wasden is just your prototypical power centerman, finishes his hits. He knows exactly where the puck's going to be. He's very good off the puck. He's always in the right spot. And Justin McCray, you know, he's a third rounder by Carolina, and you know, he's got a huge offensive upside to him, and I like what I've seen so far from all three of them because they all bring something different and something unique that we didn't have last year.
And coach, on the back end, your assessment of their play, Craig Lineker, who had a big drop off scoring for you guys last year, he chipped in with a goal and an assist on the weekend. Your assessment of how the defense played?
You know, I thought they battled really hard on Saturday, and one of the biggest things that we want our defensemen this year to do is to keep it really simple and to minimize their mistakes. And I thought against Regina, I thought we did a pretty good job of just moving the puck, keeping it simple, keeping the puck to the outside, and jumping up into the rush to be the second wave. And that's evident by Lenny getting a couple points, and we did have a lot of point shots as well. We just want our defensemen to minimize the mistakes by not overhandling the puck and not going east and west, but rather going north and south as much as we can.
And any injuries to report on the weekend?
No, we didn't. We came out injury-free. We do have Wyatt Hamilton, who's still out with mono, and Keith Vojtěchuk with his hip. They're still out, so you know, they've been out since the exhibition season, so we're relatively healthy, knock on wood. Huh. It's a far cry than what it was last year at this time, but you know, the guys are excited, and there's a little bit of a different culture in our dressing room, especially when you go to Regina's rink and take 3 out of 4, something that I don't think we've done since my time here. The guys understand that we have a good hockey team, and they're slowly building an identity.
Penalty kill 9 for 10 on the weekend at 90%. Power play 1 for 7. Your assessment of the special teams?
Well, I thought we did a pretty good job on the power play, even though we went 1 for 7. We scored when we needed it early in the third period on Saturday. We had a ton of chances and a lot of second shots, and you know, we just didn't capitalize in front of the net. But I thought we had puck possession quite a bit on the power play, and our PK has been our strong suit probably over the last few years. We've always been one of the top two or three PKs in Canada West, and that continues to be, you know, guys getting in the shooting lanes, and your best penalty killer always has to be your goalie, and that was evident with Frankie Tuat all weekend.
And let's get into this weekend's matchup. You're going to be taking on a Manitoba team that is off to an outstanding start, 4-0 to start the season, and they might have, at least at this point, the veteran goalie. He 2 weeks in, you got to say, he's maybe the league MVP of the Canada West at this point. Steve Christie, he's been on fire, coach. 5 goals against in 4 games. He's got a 96% save percentage. Looks like a tough matchup against a Manitoba team that's off to a great start.
Well, you know, they have a very veteran team. I believe they had 21 players return from last year's team, and they picked up some very good Western Hockey League players. So they're an exciting team because they skate very well. They work really hard, and they really rely on Steve Christie, their goaltender, who I thought last year was also very good. So they're going to be a very tough opponent, and they come with you know, with a chip on their shoulder. They're ranked in the top 10. They're first in our league, and it's going to be a great test for us, and we have to be up to the challenge.
And any changes in your lineup? Is Frankie Tuat scheduled to play both games? Are you, you know, keeping the lines as is? Any change in the UBC lineup?
No, I think we're just going to go with what made us successful up in Regina and play the same way and more so focus on us than focus on who we're playing against. And we want to create that identity and keep the lines unified, because we got to develop some chemistry. We've only played 6 games, and that's not a lot of games, but you know, we get a chance to practice with these guys all the time, and that's how they form some chemistry, and we want to keep that going.
Coach, we're going to have Jeff Lynch on with us right after we get off with you. Tell us about this player, your team captain.
Well, you know, no question, he was going to be our team captain, and you know, when you talk to the guys last year at the end, and we discussed leadership, and his name has come up quite a bit. You know, he's a guy that does everything right. He works really hard, and he comes to practice, and he's prepared all the time. And he's a very good, influential player, especially for the young guys. And he's playing with Justin McRae, a first-year centerman. And they're very similar players, and I like the fact that we could use Jeff in any key situation that is, last minute, first minute, PK, power play. And those guys are hard to find. And when you get those guys, they're a special breed.
Is it anything that they're both former Spokane Chiefs? Does that play into it at all? Or?
Well, you know what it is? They're both captains. And Jeff was a captain before Justin came to Spokane. And Justin was a captain, you know, after Jeff. And what I like the most about all our new guys, and we spoke about this in the past, is they've all won something. They've all won a national championship or a league title. And to me, it makes a world of a difference when you recruit guys that have won in the past. And that brings that confidence and a little swagger to the dressing room. And that's what we've been missing, and I'm glad we got that this year.
Milan Dragons have a head coach, UBC Hockey, playing Manitoba at home Friday and Saturday, both games on CITR. Coach, thanks for doing this. Best of luck on the weekend.
Thank you so much.
All right, Tyler, that was Milan Dragons have a head coach, UBC Thunderbird Men's Hockey. We're going to have the team captain for UBC, Jeff Lynch, on momentarily. Yeah, good start for UBC on the weekend, 1-0-1 at the University of Regina. Tough test this weekend, though. Manitoba 4-0, and we talked about their goalie, Steve Christie, 5 goals against in the 4 games. So tough, good test this weekend.
It will definitely be a good test, although UBC had some success against Manitoba last year of different teams, obviously, now. But that's one thing that may help them out a little bit in terms of the mental aspects of the 2 games, as well as 3 out of 4 points, some momentum coming off the road trip. So,
all right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. The show lineup today, we're going to have Jeff Lynch, starting centerman and team captain for UBC Thunderbird Men's Hockey, with us right after this break at 5 o'clock. Right around there will be Jim Mullen from CKNW. We've got a Schrumble to promote this weekend. It's kind of getting lost in the shuffle here, eh?
Well, it is, because it's kind of a meaningless game in the standings for UBC.
Still mathematically eligible, actually. I think if Alberta loses out, SFU loses out, and Manitoba beats SFU and loses their other games, they still have a shot to get it if they win.
They need a miracle.
Yeah, they need, like, to go. They need, out of the, you know, the scenarios, they need like 13 things to happen.
Yeah, right? And so they don't have momentum going into this game at all. They got absolutely killed by the Saskatchewan Huskies last weekend, and we'll be hearing about that from Jimmy called the game on Shaw TV. So,
is 44-7 close in any sport?
Well,
darts, it's tight.
Back when Simon Fraser was really struggling in the middle of their 25-game losing streak, they did lose one to Manitoba by a score of 77-7. So there's always that game.
There you go. Also with us on the show today, UBC Thunderbird Women's Volleyball, Liz Cordonnier will be with us, and we'll also get into some UBC Thunderbird Women's Field Hockey. Okay, we're taking a break. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
CineWorks York's Independent Filmmakers Society presents a series of cinematic salons with Vancouver International Film Festival artists between October 4th and 15th.
In its 15th year, Meet the Filmmakers is about the realization of ideas and the revelation of process.
These informal and insightful panel discussions with filmmakers attending the festival provide an opportunity for the festival audience to engage in meaningful dialogue with the visionaries of modern cinema.
Meet the Filmmakers is brought to you by Cineworks, the documentary organization of Canada BC Chapter, and the Praxis Center for Screenwriters and Women in Film and Television.
Salons are free. Just bring your love of film and prepare to be inspired. Visit cineworks.ca for up-to-the-minute information.
Spot Live in association with CITR 101.9 FM present Rude City Riot October the 16th at venue. Rude City Riot with special guests Red Eye Empire and Brave New Waves. Friday, October the 16th at venue 881 Granville Street. Early show doors at 7 p.m. Advance tickets available at Zulu and Red Cat Records. Presented by Scar Spot Live and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Welcome everybody back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. With us on the line, team captain, second leading scorer on the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team last year, former Spokane Chief, Jeff Lynch, with us on the line. Jeff, thanks for doing this today.
Yeah, you're welcome. No problem.
So, Jeff, give us some thoughts on the start of the season for UBC Thunderbird men's hockey, getting everything underway, some optimism to start the year with this team. You go into Regina on the weekend, get 3 out of 4 points. Your thoughts on the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we have a really good squad this year, a lot of returning players, so we're happy with the outcome. I mean, we went in there looking for 4 points, and we're happy to get 3 out of it.
There you go. And give us some thoughts on, you know, you've got some newcomers on the team, and you're playing with one of the new guys. It's you, Tyler Ruel, and this new kid, Justin McCray. You are both former Spokane Chief captains. What's it like playing with this kid, and what's Justin McCray like?
It's awesome. It's a pleasure to play with Justin. He's a great new recruit coming in. So we have a few good recruits that are playing in our top few lines. I mean, our recruits are going to have to step up this year, and Justin will be a big part of that. So looking forward to playing with him this year.
And your other guy battled injuries for you last year, Tyler Ruel, off to a good start for you guys this year. Last year, you know, he did battle the injuries, but he had the big playoff. Tell us about this kid, Tyler Ruel.
Yeah, Tyler is a great player. I mean, again, our line could be one of the best lines in the league, I feel. And, I mean, he brings great enthusiasm, really good score, great attitude, hard worker. So us combined, we should be a pretty deadly force this year.
Jeff Lynch with us from the UBC men's hockey team. Jeff, what's the goal for this team? I mean, you've won that playoff series now. You were a part of that. You got that monkey off the back. You won the great series last year. Haven't been able to get past the second round yet. What's the goal for the UBC hockey team this year?
It is definitely to win Canada West. Yeah, go on to the finals and win our league and continue from there.
Just flat out win that conference, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really tight this year with a playoff change. Top four teams make it. So first get in the playoffs, and then from there, go all the way.
So what do you guys have to do? What have you not done in the past that you're going to have to do this year to really, quite frankly, play with the teams like the Alberta Golden Bears?
Just be more consistent. We have great games, then we come back with average performances. So if we're more consistent during the year and we capitalize against all the teams, even the teams at the bottom of the division, if we capitalize against them, take 3 out of 4 points or 4 out of 4 points from them, and from there, and then be competitive with the top teams.
Yeah, because last year you guys battled a lot of injuries, but really the thing that you guys kept doing, how did this happen last year? Good game one night, bad game the next night. Other way around, how was that happening? You were constantly getting those splits last year.
Yeah, we did. I mean, the second game is definitely the toughest to win. No team wants to get shut out 2 in a row. I mean, especially because you have to wait a full week to play the next game. So getting the sweeps is a big deal, and it's something that's a tough job to do, but that's something that we need to improve on this year and capitalize the second game, stronger effort, and get 4 points.
Cool. And you're going to be taking on the Manitoba Bisons this weekend. Their goalie, Steve Christie, off to an outstanding start this year. He's only given up 5 goals in the 4 games this year. They're 4-0. What's the matchup like against Manitoba, and what's this goalie, Steve Christie, like?
It's definitely going to be a good test. I mean, we played him last year in playoffs, and he was very good for them. So he'll be obviously great starts this year, so he'll be good again this year. So they have a lot of returning players from their team. So they're off to a great start, and we're looking at this a big test for us, see where we sit in the league so far.
What does he do as a goalie? What kind of goaltender is he?
He's bigger. He fills the net. He's quick. So he's going to be a tough goalie. But, I mean, if he can put 40 shots on him and bang and crash, then we should get a few goals on him.
Cool. And the coach said there's really, you know, the mindset of this team last year, everybody he brought in as a recruit has either won something at a level or has been a team captain. Is there a different mindset with this team this year?
Yes, I think absolutely. I think we have 6 team captains, like 6 former captains on our team. So, I mean, we have a leadership by committee. Everyone's got a good attitude, positive. We have nothing holding us back. So, I mean, with a good attitude and strong leadership, if we can all buy in together, we should be successful this year.
And, you know, last year you battled all those injuries, so you've kind of dealt with that. In the past, you haven't had a home rink to deal with. You played all over the province. Is it, you know, things are more settled this year, it seems?
Yeah, I would think so, too. I mean, we've got a new strength and conditioning coach at UBC with Jim Deal, who's structuring our workouts. So with that, with keeping in shape, less injuries, hopefully we can sustain that and keep our forwards in the lineup and or forwards and our Ds and move from there.
Yeah, because enough of the defense playing forwards this year, hey?
Yeah. We had a few rovers last year playing both positions. So, I mean, it'd be nice if we could stay healthy, knock on wood, and then everyone could play their own positions.
Terrific. Jeff Lynch with us. Jeff, thanks so much for doing this. Best of luck on the weekend versus Manitoba.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
All right, that was Jeff Lynch, team captain for the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. And, yeah, Tyler, former Spokane Chief, and I don't know, we'll ask him again later on. Played with Michael Grabner at Spokane. We'll ask him what his deal is.
Yeah.
What's going on there? That's a question. That's a Canuck fan question.
Well, absolutely. No, it's relevant.
That's a Canuck fan question. So there you have it. It was interesting last year, and Coach touched on it with us last week. Defenseman playing forward last year with all the injuries. So that's something they're going to have to avoid. And, you know, injuries are definitely something that's going to have to be watched with this team, because just from looking at the roster, not as much scoring depth at the forward position as you'd like. And if guys start to go down,
Trouble
brewing again. So, but hey, 1-0-1, there is optimism at the start of the year, so we'll see what the UBC men's hockey team can do. And Tyler, you, of course, did the play-by-play for the UBC Thunderbird women on the weekend.
Yeah, you talk about optimism. There was certainly a lot of that from that group as well. They didn't get their home opener to go the way they wanted it to, although it wasn't in their real home rink. They played the Friday game in Father Bauer Arena because the Wiggles... We have the computer systems at CITR have a mind of their own. The Wiggles took up Thunderbird Arena on the Friday night, so UBC and Calgary faced off in the old Father Bauer rink. But the Thunderbirds did not get off to a great start. They got into a hole early and ended up falling by a score of 3-1. One of the newcomers, Serena Swanson, closed the gap to 2-1 in the third period there, and then Calgary added an empty netter in the final minute. So a 3-1 score, not the start that the Thunderbirds expected for themselves. They certainly regrouped in a hurry and came out, got a hot start, 3 first period goals on Saturday, en route to a 4-1 win on Saturday night at Thunderbird Arena, the main rink. The Birds getting goals from Dale Poulin and Christy Capozzi as they both tallied after Kaylee Chinakas in the first period. So a 3-0 lead heading into the first intermission. The first CIS goal for both Poulin and Capozzi, who both looked great. The newcomers to the UBC Thunderbirds lineup are really starting to fit in very comfortably, very quickly. I mentioned Christy Capozzi, one of the defensive players, recruits for the women's hockey team. Another one as well was Crookshank. She looked great as well on the blue line. So the UBC Thunderbirds women's hockey team certainly showing that they have more depth this season, and hopefully the, for them, they can improve their playoff position and maybe actually win a game this time in the playoffs. Unfortunately, what's been happening in the Canada West Conference is there's been the two tiers of teams. There's been the Albertas and Manitobas up top, and then everybody else. So the Thunderbirds looking to move into that upper echelon this year and getting a split in their first weekend. They have a bye coming up. Following the game, Nancy Wilson, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds women's hockey team on Saturday, had some very positive things to say, and here's a snippet of her post-game comments.
Our goal today was to put a three solid periods, 60 minutes of hockey together, and to really establish a forecheck, pressure, and create offense off a forecheck, and I thought we did that quite well.
Mm-hmm. Obviously got a pretty young team. You had a couple of girls. Capozzi, I think, is a rookie. Is that
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of girls, you know, young girls contributing, that's got to be a good sign.
With, oh, yeah. Kind of team, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what we wanted, right? A couple of years ago, we said we were going to build a team, and you need to do that. We have quite a few young players in this province that made a decision to stay in the province and go to school, and you know, they're playing very well, and we have to be a little patient. There was a couple of times tonight where I think our goaltender was a little gray, but you know, I think that overall it was a real good effort by everybody tonight.
Last night you were disappointed with the start, for sure. Tonight you can't say the same. Three quick goals.
Yeah, it was a great start tonight, and that was, I think that the room, they had a little bit of a meeting, and I think everybody was just a little bit upset or frustrated with the way they started last night, and there was no way that was going to happen again.
Was it players only meeting?
No. They just had it. Well, I wasn't in the room, but it wasn't one of those things that you call. It was just a discussion after the game of, you know, we just have to have a better start.
I just got a quick question about the penalties. There was quite a few tonight. I know you talked prior to the season that was an issue with discipline. A little bit upset over that, or?
No, we had a, you know, I don't really mind the penalties where you're really battling one-on-one. I mean, we need to keep our feet moving, but I don't think there were too many undisciplined penalties tonight. I think it was more of a real battling hard. I thought that actually the referee did a good job of letting the game go. It was a real solid, you know, one-on-one battles tonight, and I thought that she did a good job of letting that go. But, yeah, again, you know, we need to keep our feet moving and keep our sticks on the ice.
Looking ahead to Lethbridge in 2 weeks, you guys got a bye this upcoming week. What are you going to be focused on in practice?
Again, puck movement, getting the puck in the net. You know, Calgary's a good young team as well, and they play a good system. They're well coached. And Lethbridge, I know, will be the same. They'll be a scrappy team, but that plays a good system. We need to get the puck to the net, and we can't have the breakdowns that we actually had tonight. We had a lot of breakdowns, and we need to make the easy play. And so that's what we're going to concentrate on, just moving the puck and making the easy plays.
So the post-game thoughts of UBC women's hockey head coach Nancy Wilson following the team's 4-1 victory on Saturday night at Thunderbird Arena that earned the Birds a split of the two-game weekend set after falling 3-1 on Friday night. I mentioned before the comments there, Dale Poulin and Christy Capozzi tallying for the Thunderbirds, as well as Kaylee Chinakas getting the fourth goal. Alicia Choi gathering a loose puck behind the Dinos net after an initial wraparound attempt was denied. She managed to jam the rebound home, and the Birds never looked back from there. Melinda Choi getting her first win between the pipes for UBC, saving 12 of 13 shots. The Dinos are back home this coming weekend for two games against the Saskatchewan Huskies. UBC, as mentioned, they have the bye week, and they're back at home October 23rd and 24th when the Lethbridge Pronghorns come to town, and we'll have the Saturday game for you on the web at citr.ca.
There you go.
Yeah. We'll take another break.
There you go. All right, everybody, when we're back, Jim Mullen from CKNW and the Canada West will be with us. Some thoughts on SFU. He had a little rant yesterday.
He did. His sports comment on CKNW yesterday was quite critical of the Simon Fraser clan, particularly the football department. So we'll ask him about that.
Yeah, that was fun.
As well as the Thunderbirds' wipeout to the Saskatchewan Huskies last Friday night in Saskatoon, a game Jim called on Shaw TV.
That was brutal.
No other... That's the best word for it, yeah.
You know, because that's one of those games, 44-7, but it was one of those 44-7s where there's no point to even look at the statistics because Saskatchewan had called off the Dogs, literally, what, by halftime?
Well, they were up 27-0 at halftime.
Yeah, so they weren't even really, you know, they weren't racking it up in the second half.
Yeah, and then UBC put in their backup quarterback for the second half, so...
And we'll preview what is a not so pumped up Frumble.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite the same this
year.
All right, everybody. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Sad. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It should have been somebody else. Believe it or not, we're talking about sports.
I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer.
Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. CITR Sports, please listen.
Welcome, everybody, back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Left on the show today, we're going to have Jim Mullen from the Canada West and Shaw TV on with us in a moment. At about 5:20, 20 minutes time, we're going to have Liz Cordonnier from the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. Women's field hockey still to come, and there you have it. We got Jim?
We do.
All right, with us on the line, a man who toughed it out in the cold on the weekend.
And had a harrowing journey back, evidently. We'll ask Jim about that in a second.
Really?
Yeah.
Jim, you know, I watched that game on TV. I was a viewer there.
Yeah.
And it seemed cold, and I got to say, that was one rough, rough game to watch on top of that.
Oh, it was a terrible game, really. I haven't seen punting that bad at this level ever. And the special teams execution was awful. The UBC front seven was overmanned. They couldn't establish the running game. It was really hard to find any bright lights within that game. If you were a UBC Thunderbird fan, they were totally overpowered in every aspect of the game.
Yeah, Jim, UBC got down early, and their high point of that game for the longest time was Pavlopoulos recovering his own punt on UBC's first possession.
Well, about two-thirds of the way through the game, Billy was, I think, averaging 18 yards per punt.
Yeah.
And, there was a win, but, you know, even when he had the wind at his back, sometimes it would be an adventure. I haven't been out to the UBC practices this week, but I would have serious doubts whether or not he's into the game as the punter or the place kicker when the Trumbull rolls around on Saturday. Yeah, it was cold there, by the way. -4 at kickoff, wind chill of -11. It dropped to -9 at the end of the game with a wind chill of around -18. One of the trainers for the University of Saskatchewan remarked to us that it felt as cold as the Vanier Cup when the Vanier Cup was there. And if you remember that game, people were pretty stiff and pretty bundled up in the middle of the daytime. So I think the miserable weather added to the misery for the T-Birds.
Jim, UBC drops to 1-5 with this loss. The playoffs are still mathematically alive, but that's pretty much it. Defensively, UBC's last two games, they've given up 94 points, and that's with the Calgary and Saskatchewan team that definitely were not running up the score. They had both, say, called off the dogs really in the second half of those respective games. Those out of the 19 games played in the Canada West this year, those are the most points any team has given up in a game. UBC's given up the top two, 50 and 44. I mean, this defense, they've just been getting run over this year, hey?
Yeah, they've been getting run over, but I disagree with you with Saskatchewan. I think Saskatchewan was getting as many points as possible. Mm. I mean, even late in the game, they were still running deep corner routes. They were still running cover zero on defense and running blitz attacks. And, you know, I was not under the impression that they were laying off. And I think that was in response to numerous articles and fan complaints about the offense or the lack of offense through their first four or five games. So I think Saskatchewan, I don't think Brian Tauris found a low gear for them. As for the defense, you know, really it comes down to depth in the Canada West. When you lose starters, you lose games. It's as simple as that. And the Thunderbirds don't have a lot of depth for any number of reasons. We can go through the list again. I mean, Tyler Codron is out. Doug Goldsby signed before the start of the year and after the draft as an undrafted player. So there's a major hole in the secondary. And I think Alex Babalos at safety has done a fantastic job of filling in, but he can't do everything. And certainly you don't want your middle safety or your free safety to be leading you in tackles. With the linebackers, they've gone through three guys at middle linebacker. Nathan Kanya is gone for the year with a crack in a vertebrae. Devin Kavanaugh is doing the best that he can at the weak side position to try to pull it all together. I think the Thunderbirds were secretly hoping that Scott McQuaig was going to come back. He focused so much on his CFL aspirations that he really let his school slide. Unfortunately, you've got a guy that's put 4 years in at the university. He came back on and tried to appeal, at least the football program tried to appeal to get him back into school, and it was rejected by UBC. So the support isn't there from the administration and from the staff to really put the best team on the field in that case. And, you know, you would think that someone with his record on the football field, they might look a little kindly to him to get him back in for a fifth year and for him to get his grades up. So you go through the list on defense, and they've taken a number of hits even before they got out of the gate.
Offensively, Jim, Billy Green all season long has been slowly progressing, but this game was certainly a step back. He struggled. He had to be pulled at halftime.
Yeah, he did. He did struggle. There's no question about that. And I'm not sure if it's a question of his receivers in some cases not getting open and helping him out. I think the inability to establish the running game against the Saskatchewan front seven had a lot to do with it too. I mean, in that first half, I believe the Thunderbirds were averaging just under 2.5 yards per carry when it came to the running game, and Billy Green left the game with only 91 yards passing. So maybe it was a good time to get Boomer in there to see what he could do and get some reps and give Billy an opportunity to kind of sit back after three pretty successful games personally, all over 300 yards, to kind of contemplate just what went wrong.
Dave Boyd, do you think the Thunderbirds are trying to use him alone too much for their running game? Should they be giving the ball to Cheng Wei more often and some of the other depth players? What is your thoughts on the running game? Because it does seem to be very hot and cold this season.
Well, I think one of the keys to the UBC offense has been the lack thereof of having Kevin Kraft in the lineup and healthy. And that's especially true over the last 2 years. I know they've brought in backup fullbacks to replace him, so they now have some depth at that position. Mm-hmm. But as you saw last year, once they lost Kraft early in the season, they had to go to ace back all season long. Kraft was out of this game, too. He hasn't fully recovered from his injury. So I think that really has an impact on the way the Thunderbirds can and can't use their running backs. Cheng Wei's a fifth-year guy. He's going to be pretty hungry. I'd like to see him get a few more touches of the ball. At the same time, early in the game, I think Dave Boyd is your number one guy, and you want to see whether or not he can get into a rhythm. If he can get into a rhythm, stick with the guy. If you're about 5 minutes into the second quarter against SFU and you're not establishing anything on the ground, try moving guys in and out.
Let's look ahead to the Shrum Bowl now. Obviously, a critical game for SFU. If they're to secure a playoff spot, the Thunderbirds obviously struggling. It's kind of a different Shrum Bowl that's shaping up to be here this year compared to years past.
Yeah, you know what? I think behind the scenes there's a lot of nastiness here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that came out when the Thunderbirds returned to Thunderbird Stadium after their road trip. And Ted Gavaya found the letters SFU carved in the side of his Range Rover. And, you know, I'm all for hijinks, and, you know, I'm all for, you know, TPing a car or, or, you know, all the way over to the engineers stealing an E off the Ridge Theater or anything like that that's creative. Mm-hmm. But something that's malicious like that, no matter who it's from, whether it's from the SFU team or you know, some people over at SFU are now suggesting that players on the UBC team have done this, and I find that a little hard to believe at this point. It really sets, I think, a bad tone for what should be a fantastic event. I'm very disappointed that SFU isn't doing the annual press conference this year.
Yeah.
I think there are some reasons behind that, because there's certain news that should be coming down tomorrow that won't necessarily be in SFU's favor from what I'm hearing through the grapevine. And so I think there's a real dark cloud surrounding this, and it's not just because this game is going to be played up on Burnaby Mountain within the clouds.
Jim, you provide a nice little segue for me there, because you mentioned the SFU keying incident with Ted Gavaya. Yesterday on CKNW, in your sports comment, you described Simon Fraser's exit from the Canada West as disgraceful. Let's go into that. Explain for our audience what you're getting at. It's not just this behavior and this little incident with the keying.
Yeah, and I think it pertains to the way that they're exiting Canada West as an organization. When David Murphy decided that it was time to pull the plug and make the jump to the GNAC, he had said to his CIS friends that he was going to keep them in the loop. When the press conference started, no one in the CIS was let know of what SFU was going to do. I think what Dave Johnson has managed to do as a coach in terms of the record that he's put together has been respectable. I think the way he's gone about it goes against what the ethic of the game is in this country. There are numerous players that have come and gone from that program within the space of a year just as stopgaps. He's not concerned about their education, and they fail out of school, and they're not to be seen again on the field. The drug testing in the CIS is very limited, but the time that they sent a player last year to the East-West Bowl, he was caught for doing steroids. Dave Johnson himself, with his very first game out of the gate, was caught on recruiting infractions and had to sit the first game out. So, you know, I sent a copy of the editorial to a friend of mine at the University of Calgary. It's now made the rounds through the Canada West through various offices. I had three athletic directors phone me today and one high-ranking official in the Canada West phone me today, and the message was, thank you for saying that, because we're not in a position to say that about SFU right now, but you wouldn't believe the problems behind the scenes that we've had with SFU, and that's really something, considering that SFU didn't have a place to place their basketball teams and their football team back in 2002, and Canada West took them in, and they've been bad actors for the last couple of years.
Ah, the power of the freedom of the press, hey Jim?
Well, everyone can have an opinion.
Yeah.
Jim, so you talk about SFU and all that they're doing. You talk about all the bad blood behind the scenes with UBC. Besides this Keene incident, there is stuff going on here, hey?
Well, yeah, and you know, I think a lot of that comes from a group of coaches that at one time worked in the same places. I mean, Dave Johnson was the former coach of UBC. He also left in disgrace from UBC after the infamous pizza parlor brawl where there was a fight between him and Noel Thorpe, who's now an assistant coach with the Edmonton Eskimos. And he was fired on the spot then. And I don't think UBC football has been the same ever since, actually.
Nope.
You know, you've got Lou DeLaurier, who left after, let's say, a confrontation with Ted Gavaya. The two of them didn't get along. Ted ended up taking his position as head coach of the Thunderbirds, and it's been there's been tension ever since. Let's just put it that way. Whether it's through areas where they should cooperatively work together, whether it's on the internet with players posting anonymously, spreading false rumors, you know, basically lies about what's going on in the UBC program. It's got really nasty, and I think, quite honestly, I think a great majority of it has come from the mountain. It hasn't come from the point.
Would you say, though, Jim, because, you know, I do a lot of, I follow pretty closely the Canada West men's basketball and the women's. Doesn't seem like there's any bad blood going on there. Just that, you know, the SFU women's basketball team just doesn't do that kind of thing, and maybe the SFU men's basketball team, quite frankly, just hasn't been very successful.
Well, yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head with basketball. I think Bruce Langford, here's the difference. Bruce Langford is a coach that you can respect. You know, and he's also a guy, quite frankly, who wanted the SFU program to stay in Canada West. He saw the benefit of having a Canadian national championship. He saw the benefit of television coverage that his team would get when they get to that stage. And he saw the benefit of the rivalries that work within the province and across Western Canada. So, you know, he was quite happy with the arrangement that they have. I think Scott Clark, being a disciple of Jay Triano, probably enjoys the opportunity to take on some of the American schools. But I think the SFU men's basketball program will, you know, they'll be in tough. They'll be challenged by some of the schools at the D2 level. But you know, you don't have that you know, that same sort of bad blood with the with the men's program either. Because you know what, Scott Clark's a decent guy. You know, I know he's a coach that drives his players very hard, and sometimes he gets a bit of a reaction out of them. But, you know, I've known Scott for a dozen years, and he's a quality character.
Jim, so what are you hearing? SFU, of course, 2-4. It was the backup quarterback, I believe, they put into the game. Also played some wide receiver. Apparently, we're going to find out tomorrow if SFU's two wins are going to be taken away. Is that what you were hearing here?
That's what I'm hearing, too. And, you know, frankly, this decision's been long overdue. I know that I've got a couple of contacts within the system that are going to let me know when it comes down. You know, the SFU's gone back and they've said, okay, on compassionate grounds, you know, this player should be accepted even though he wasn't officially enrolled as a grad student until September the 24th. Now, you know what? It would have been easy for them at the start of the year to go to the Canada West and say, on compassionate grounds, he played two games in the NCAA last year. Can you please excuse him for those two games? Like Shea Emery came into the UBC program a couple of years ago, where he played one game and one quarter at Eastern Washington. Can you excuse him for these two games and then bring him into the CIS? And on compassionate grounds, based upon precedent, they would have brought him in. But instead, they decided to play him, and then when they were called on it by the University of Calgary, that's when things started to go into action. So, you know, SFU could have saved themselves all sorts of grief if they would have gone by the book. But, you know, they didn't go by the book. Apparently, the dean of the faculty has written a letter saying, oh, gee, I screwed up. You know, please let Caleb play for the football team, and you know, I just think that's pretty weak sauce when it gets right down to it.
Jim, let's get back to the Shrem Bowl game itself. UBC 1-5, SFU 2-4, so both teams struggling heading into this 32nd Shrem Bowl. It could be the last one, maybe period, but certainly the last one meaningful with SFU leaving the Canada West after this season. SFU 2-4, but certainly they're probably a better team than the record would indicate, given some of the close losses they've had this year.
Oh, yeah, and if I had to fix a point spread on this game, I'd say SFU by about 14.5. I find it very difficult to imagine any way the UBC Thunderbirds could win this football game. SFU's more physical up front. I know they had a few holes in their defensive line at the start of the season. You might be able to run against them, but, man, have they got a quality secondary with Ray Latichuk and the Deloriers back there. You know, and they've got depth in the secondary, too. They've got a better kicking game than UBC does. I think when it comes to quarterbacking, I'd actually give a slight edge to UBC at this point, because Billy Green, at least in three of his four last games, has been consistent, and he's been productive. He's got off to some slow starts, and He's had quite frankly, a couple of brain farts here and there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think he's quality enough. Gabe Eppart was injured in that game against the University of Regina, so SFU may be forced to go three deep at their running back position. If that's the case, that's going to take an edge off their running game. But, you know, Victor Marshall is a wide receiver for Simon Fraser. He's the deep threat of the day on either side of the ball. So I think it'd be very hard to put money down against SFU unless somebody gave you 14.5.
Yeah, and if Eppart does play, he is one of the most dangerous backs in the league, 128 yards and just 12 carries against Regina. So, you know, and UBC's front seven even weaker than week one when the Birds hosted the Clan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's... You know, if I can think of a scenario where UBC might be able to pull this out, maybe it'll be the first fog game up at up at Burnaby Mountain, and then maybe based upon that, something special may happen. And Daryl, we all know about fog games, don't we?
That was fun. I did that game with Dan Elliott, and honest here is there was a point where, you know, UBC, I don't know who was on offense, but, you know, I was like, Dan was talking about, you know, what was going on in the drive, and I go to Dan, I go, you know, Dan, I think the pile's starting to go the other way. He's like, no, and I'm like, yeah, look at it. Without knowing it, there was a turnover, and the offenses and the defenses had switched.
Oh, my.
We didn't even know.
I remember your best quote of this of the night was, "This is the greatest game that nobody ever saw."
I mean, it was a ton of fun. It was a ton of fun. I remember there'd be like passes, and you'd just be like, "I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened." So,
well, you know that's the shame about all the bad blood behind the scenes in this departure, because this has been a great series. You know, Vancouver doesn't have a lot of rivalry games because, you know, Edmonton has Calgary, Seattle has Portland, Winnipeg has Saskatchewan. You know, we have to do it inside the province here. You know, maybe you got Kamloops, Kelowna, but and maybe you've got Victoria, Nanaimo, but when it comes to Vancouver, it's SFU and UBC. And when this game used to be very, very big, you know, it used to be an event that was circled on the calendar. Unfortunately, I think it's been mismanaged by both universities for the last couple of years. I think Steve Frost, when he was with SFU a number of years ago, showed people how it could be done, and they sold out Swangard Stadium. But, you know, really since that point, I'm shocked at the level of mismanagement that's really driven this event into the ground.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Jim Mullen from the Canada Shaw TV and CKNW. Jim, thanks so much for doing this, and enjoy the game on Saturday. And have you gotten any, you know, enjoy any calls from SFU? Can I ask that question? Or
I did receive a call from Scott McLean, but he was just giving me some information.
Okay.
But no nasty calls from SFU. But like I say, I had three calls from three different ADs, and I did get a call from a high-ranking official in the Canada West, all on the prairies, by the way.
Yep.
And you know what? It makes you think that you're not crazy, because it's very reassuring to know that you're tapping into something that's very real.
Yeah, and we all like to be reassured that we're not crazy every now and then, don't we?
Well, yeah, especially you,
yes.
Daryl.
Yes, we do. Thanks for doing this, Jim. Very much appreciate it.
Thanks, okay, Jim.
Thanks.
Jim Mullen there, scathing.
Yeah.
Review of SFU.
And with all of this uncertainty surrounding the future of the Shrum Bowl, both schools have a chance to stake claim to the overall series, because it's currently tied 15-15-1 since the first Shrum Bowl back in 1967.
100%, they got to keep it going, even if SFU goes NCAA. I stand by that. You do what you did when SFU was in the NAIA.
Yep.
Wherever they're playing, that's the rules.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Playing at SFU 1 year,
yep.
American. Or you could do the always hilarious combine the rules. Maybe play NFL, have some rouges put in there, giant ball.
Yep.
Yeah. The old, you know, the play where you can, in the Canadian rule, the play that I love is where if you punt it, everybody behind you can go and get it.
Yep.
They should have that still. Nonetheless, UBC 1-5 on the season. could be 2-4 as of tomorrow because they're one of those SFU games that's being contested. But still, UBC 44-7. They've given up, Tyler, 94 points in their last two games. And it's just...
not much to be optimistic about at this point now. So kickoff 1 o'clock from Terry Fox Field up on Burnaby Mountain. The game can be heard here on CITR 101.9 FM, also being televised on Shaw TV with Jim at the play-by-play mic there. And on our pregame show, 12 noon, we'll have a full 1 hour, and we'll get into a whole bunch of the stuff involving SFU and the Shrum Bowl and the whole bit. Jeff Sargent will have the pregame for you.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we're back, we're going to delve into a little UBC Thunderbird Women's Volleyball. Liz Cordonnier will be with us. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Yeah, the state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting like more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a cry. Draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver. CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
Regulations hard. Du lyssnar på CITR 109.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Mr. President, we have a situation.
Once again, a UFO has landed in America. The only country UFOs ever seem to land in.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I mean, yeah, that didn't quite work out. I don't know what this is from. It says Monsters vs. Aliens. It does, doesn't it?
That's what the screen says.
This movie was recommended to me.
Oh.
It was recommended to me, and I saw it. I paid the 3D money to see it. Are you there, Liz?
Yeah, I'm here.
Liz Cordonnier, one of the star players of the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. Liz, I went to the movie theater on a sunny day, and I forked out my... it's like $17, $16 bucks to see one of those 3D movies, you know.
I know, they make you pay for the glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what happens, though, when you... have you gone back to one of those 3D movies and brought the same pair? Have you done that? Because I saved the pair.
No, I haven't had the opportunity, but I think I still have my glasses, too, actually.
Yeah, but I wonder if they make you buy another pair. I bet you they do, eh?
I bet you they do, too, actually.
Liz, this movie wasn't that great.
You didn't like it.
I said I didn't not like it. It was okay though. Your term that you used for it was, I believe, epic.
Maybe I was duped by the 3D-ness of it, but I really enjoyed it.
I mean, it was okay, Liz.
Do you actually have me quoted as calling it epic?
Yeah, I have epic.
Okay.
I have actually epic.
She wants that back now.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I have. Yeah. Epic. Yeah. I'm like, all right, it was, you know, I mean, it was winning at the box office. But, I mean, you know, it was okay. I mean, it's out on DVD now, on Blu-ray. Have you run out and got it? Is that...
no, I haven't.
So not so epic?
Maybe not so epic.
Really? But hands down, the best movie you saw in the last, like, 3 years.
Did I say that, too?
Well, where do you go beyond epic? That's my thing.
You're putting her on the spot so poorly.
Well, no, if you say something's epic, what's better than epic?
Oh, dear.
Do I owe you, like, 16 or 17 bucks now?
Yes, you do. I like this. Yes, you do. Well, Liz actually saw me on St. Patrick's Day, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, so next year if you see me, you have to buy me a beer unless I... you saw me when I had a big cut on my forehead, didn't you?
Yeah. You were pretty roughed up.
Yeah, it healed. It healed.
Good.
I'm very happy. Liz, did you see Up?
Yes, I saw that movie too.
Okay. So, hold on, and then we'll get into the volleyball, I promise. So I'm just trying to find out. So if Monsters vs. Aliens was epic, what was Up?
Up was pretty good.
Pretty good. Was it better than Monsters vs. Aliens?
I don't know. it wasn't better, but I don't know. It was pretty good.
But not epic.
It wasn't epic.
Okay, there you go. I heard Up is fantastic, actually. I haven't seen Up. Tyler,
no,
you seen Up?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen any of the other 3D movies?
I don't get a chance to really watch movies.
I hate that answer. Liz, so you've seen Up and Monsters vs. Aliens. Any other 3D movies?
No other 3D movies, but I saw Zombieland on the weekend, and that was hilarious.
Hilarious?
Yeah.
Was it epic, though?
I'm going to be a little bit more cautious about using that word.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't... You used epic, so, you know. I was expecting... Nonetheless, Zombieland was good, though, hey?
Yeah, really good.
Woody Harrelson was kicking ass. He was doing
his
thing.
Yeah, and a really funny stint by Bill Murray, also.
Bill Murray's in it, hey?
Yeah.
I got to see that movie. Okay, Liz, I was going to see this movie anyways, but... I'm going to take your word one more time, okay? But that's it. If I don't like I'm pretty sure I'll like Zombieland, though.
Yeah. No, I think you'll like it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. With us right now, Liz Cordonnier from the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, defending national champion UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. First off, Liz, what did you hurt? Was it your shoulder you were out with? Or your ankle? What were you out with at the end of last year?
I was coming back from a really bad ankle sprain, and I had a torn abdominal muscle and shoulder issues. I had a lot of issues, but the ab was the one that was preventing me from playing as much ball as I would have liked.
So upper body, middle body, lower body. You had all three going on.
Got everything.
Yeah. Can't leave anybody out there, hey?
No.
How you feeling right now, Liz?
Not too bad. I just played beach all summer, so it was a little bit easier on my body than the hard court, so I feel pretty good.
Cool. And how's the team looking? Defending national champions. Is it a new look team at all? Pretty similar. How's the team looking?
Well, I mean, every year it's a new look. We've got a whole new batch of players and new roles, but solid as ever, definitely. We've got a huge amount of good talent on our team, and it goes deep into the bench as well. So, I'm pretty excited about how the team's looking this year.
Liz, every year you lose players to graduation, meaning others have to step up, take on a bigger role in terms of leadership. You're now a fifth year. How does that affect your role on this team, and what is Coach Reimer expecting from you?
This year I'm a co-captain with our other fifth year setter, Katie Tezik, and I mean, when you've played 5 years at UBC, you're playing in your fifth year, you kind of know the ropes a little bit better. We've played in two national championship finals, and so have a lot of younger players to sort of like show the ropes to a little bit, to let them know what's expected of them. So we know what's expected of us, and it's showing the other players sort of what their role is mostly.
Two-time defending national champions. If the other teams in the Canada West weren't gunning for the UBC Thunderbirds last year, what's it going to be like this year?
I guess we're the giants that need to be killed here. So, but it's going to be tough because, like I said, everybody on our team has played a lot of ball this summer. A couple girls put on the jersey for Team Canada Indoor, a couple girls for Team Canada Beach. So everybody's got a lot of reps under their belt by now, and our team's looking pretty polished. But, I mean, you never really know. The Can West, like, it's always pretty strong, and there'll be some good teams out there. But I'm sure we're a target.
What are you expecting as far as the rest of the conference this season? UBC last year finishing a match behind both Alberta and Calgary. Trinity Western is right up there as well. Are you expecting sort of the same thing, or maybe some new teams to emerge? Where do you see UBC fitting in the Canada West?
Well, hopefully we'll be right at the top. We don't really have an excuse not to be, I think, as far as our team looks right now. And I think Trinity will be pretty good. A lot of graduating players last year kind of left teams in sort of rebuilding stage this year. But, I mean, there's talent all over the Western Conference. So Calgary has a good young squad, and I'm sure Alberta will be strong as always.
Liz, you get your season underway next weekend. You got Winnipeg coming to town. I know it's still a little ways off, but how's that matchup shaping up?
We traditionally do pretty well against Winnipeg. I honestly, as a fifth-year player, don't really know the rookies coming in, but if their team is sort of similar to how they were last year, then we should do just fine, hopefully.
And is the one you got circled, I mean, every weekend, of course, is big, but is the one you got circled that Halloween weekend at Trinity Western?
Yeah, it's always tough when you play at Trinity Western because they've got a really intense fan base over there. So we need as much support as we can get when we play at Trinity's home gym. Plus, they're kind of like our crosstown rivals a little bit. We have really good matches against some high-intensity games, so it's a lot of fun.
Cool. I was wondering, Tyler, because a lot of teams are going to be playing on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Did the teams dress up?
We always have a serpent pass in the afternoon right before our game, so we usually wear costumes for a serpent pass.
There you go.
On Halloween you do, hey?
Yeah.
Why not?
And sometimes other days too.
Because very, you know, not all the time will you be playing on actual Halloween, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to, you won't dress up and use them for the warm-up?
No, I don't think Doug would like that. It's a bit distracting.
No, really? Yeah, I mean, you're two-time defending national champions, though. I mean, you haven't earned that, right?
Apparently not. Doug's got a good sense of humor, but he also takes his job very seriously.
Yeah, have you not seen Doug's game face, Daryl? He's pretty intense.
He's very good, though, at picking, and I love him when he comes on every year. He's always right. He'll pick the best animated winner in the Oscars.
Oh, there you go.
So I know he's got a little color in him. I know he's got a little color in him.
Liz, you mentioned doing some beach volleyball this summer with Volleyball Canada. Elaborate on that for us. What's it like playing some beach volleyball compared to indoor?
It was loads of fun. I found it, beach volleyball is always something I've wanted to do, and this summer was a great opportunity for me, just because they hired a new head coach, and they wanted me to play for them and gave me the opportunity, so thought I'd have to try it, because beach has always been my passion, and, in terms of the sport, it's very challenging because it's expensive. You sort of pay for a lot of your own travel, and also it's not like you have a coach kind of telling you what to do and how often to train. It's your own schedule. You set up your own matches, your own tournament schedule, and your own practice. So it was it took a lot of maturity for me to figure out how to work it this summer, but I had a great time.
Needed your organizational skills then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I needed to get my butt out the door pretty early in the morning and not sleep in when I would like to on other days. Mm-hmm. So
what, you had one partner, or you rotate around? How did that work?
Yeah, it sort of depends. Like this summer I played with ex-UBC indoor player, Jamie Broder, and we trained out in Toronto for a month, spent a month in California, trained. We traveled over to Europe and played a tournament, so we're everywhere. And had a really good summer and finished third in the country at the end in August. So,
because the Olympics are in 2012 in London, right?
Yeah.
So is that something you're going to try to shoot for?
Yeah, the goal is, I guess, to qualify for 2012 and to peak in 2016. So, I mean, you don't find out if you've qualified until a month before the Olympics, because you play on the world tour and you earn points, and depending on your ranking by the end of that month before the Olympics, that's what decides whether or not you're qualified to go.
So is Canada guaranteed X number of berths, or are you competing against worldwide teams to qualify and your own countries? How does that work?
Yeah, you're not guaranteed any berths. You're competing against the rest of the world, essentially. I think there might be a country quota of two teams. I can't remember, but essentially, no one qualified for the last Olympics for us in Beijing. And you are competing against your own country members, too, if you've got the talent. So it's very, very competitive.
Going back to your role with the UBC Thunderbirds, you and the coach have both mentioned that the team is very deep. Certainly the two national championships are evidence of that. You had a chance to see what this year's group can do at the Viking Invitational last month. Your assessment of the matches there?
That was one down in Bellingham, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was... that was our first games together, and it's sort of, the team had just sort of even physically come together at that point. And that weekend, we actually had sort of an emotional sort of barrier as well. So it was really interesting to have that kind of stress put on our team so early and see how we dealt with it. And not only did we play really well, I thought, for first couple matches together, like team chemistry was really awesome, but just the support and friendship that there already is established on the team gives me a really good feeling about the rest of the season. I just think there's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of fun, and there's a lot of support.
How nice is it to open conference play at home and be able to raise the championship banner in your first match?
It's pretty exciting. It's very empowering. We always love having people come and sort of appreciate what we've done in the past couple of years, because it has, I mean, it has been really hard. We put in a lot of hours and we train really hard, and it's really exciting to have something to show for it and represent for the university.
Cool stuff. Liz Cordonia, UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, get their season underway next weekend, Friday and Saturday. Will be, no, two weekends.
23rd and 24th, yeah, a couple weekends.
I got it. We'll be hosting the University of Winnipeg. Liz, thanks so much for doing this, and I'm sure I will enjoy Zombieland. I think I'll like that one.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry about monsters.
It's cool. You just built up expectations was all.
That's the problem. I just didn't say anything.
No, you should have said it. It's just
Zombieland sucked.
I think you used the term epic. That's all. Like, epic's pretty big.
Yeah, it is. That's a heavy word.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for doing this, Liz.
Thanks. Liz.
Yeah, that might be the last time we have her on.
Now
that you put her on a guilt trip of her. I think that was a good 3 or 4 minutes of guilt tripping there.
But it was not guilt tripping. It was.
Well, she felt guilty.
It was more movie review talk.
Yeah.
We're more reviewing
Mr. Showbiz, as Rick Ball calls him.
It was more movie review talk there, and it was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It wasn't epic. I mean, you know, I'm not looking back thinking monsters versus aliens right now. But Zombieland, hey, maybe that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to add to that
conversation.
Thanks. I got to talk to the window.
When I don't know what I'm talking about, I just...
At least I know what the window's going to say. I can play off of that. You, what was that about?
Oh, dear. I'm not good with this stuff, Daryl.
No, that was just blank. Although you did know your women's volleyball there. You were...
That's called doing research.
You were on top of that one there, Tyler. I give you marks there.
Okay.
Thumbs up!
Because your marks mean so much to me, Daryl.
Hey, I give you two checks.
Okay.
Two checks.
Great.
Did you watch any of the TV on Sunday?
I watched some baseball on Sunday.
You watched baseball on Sunday. The
Phillies and Rockies.
Phillies and Rockies.
At the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because Simpsons was meh. Family Guy, it was Spies Like Us. They had Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd on. It was okay. Not spectacular, but it was okay. And my show Californication is really starting to fall apart. That's too bad. And Dexter was pretty good. Curb Your Enthusiasm, pretty...
Saw a bit of that as well.
Common episode. You know, mm-hmm. It's the Seinfeld cast is now in it. They mention Cheryl Hines, you know, trying to get that role, or he's trying to get her that role to win her back. But it was a good episode. Christian Slater, prominent in the episode. But, you know, it's kind of like a break from the Seinfeld cast. Not a great episode. It was actually quite a disappointing night of Sunday TV. Sad story.
So Liz Cordonnier, the fifth-year left side for the UBC Thunderbirds. She averaged 2.68 kills per game last season, that second on the UBC Thunderbirds team. She missed 7 matches due to injuries, but battled through some of them in the Nationals and is going to be, by all accounts, another key player for the UBC Thunderbirds if they hope to three-peat.
There you go. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. We have lots more to go. We've still got a women's field hockey interview to get through, men's and women's soccer report. So, yeah, I better hurry up here, hey? All right, you're listening to 101.9 FM.
Carrie, darling, Carrie when I cried. If I can't marry Carrie Brown, believe I'd rather die.
You have wandered into the folk oasis. Welcome to it.
Stop the world and let me on.
You are indeed listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I've been trying to keep my mouth shut, baby. I've been trying to change my dark ways, maybe.
Yes, 8 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday night. It's me, Val, hosting 2 hours of eclectic roots music.
I went downstairs to hear the sound. Broken, lean, and singing song tonight.
Folk Oasis.
Right to Play is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Yeah, Zombieland doing very well, actually, through two weekends. Good. Very good. $48 million on a $24 million budget. I'm going to go see it. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe as early as tomorrow. Maybe as early as tomorrow. Maybe tonight.
Depends on how long the funding drive meeting goes.
Well, I got to meet a guy. I'm meeting somebody at 9 o'clock. I better be out of here. I almost cussed there. I almost threw that in there. Men's and women's soccer, Tyler. What happened on the weekend?
Yeah, the UBC Thunderbirds men's soccer team, well, they moved into sole possession of second place in the Canada West. They got a 1-0 win over Victoria on Saturday. That one coming a night after a 1-0 win over Fraser Valley on Friday over at Thunderbird Park. The women, their season's not going quite as well. They played to a pair of scoreless draws against the same two teams, and those were critical points that they needed in the standings. They're currently outside the playoff picture. With a look back at the past weekend in UBC soccer, here's CITR's Jason Wang.
In men's soccer, the T-Birds over the weekend earned 6 points in back-to-back 1-0 victories over Fraser Valley and the Victoria Vikes to close in on conference-leading Trinity Western. On Saturday night, UBC won 1-0 on home pitch at Thunderbird Park for the second straight match, powered by a decisive 73rd-minute goal by second-year midfielder Devin Ganunch. Improving to 6 wins and 3 losses, UBC has overtaken both Alberta and Victoria to sit in second in the Canada West standings with 18 points, just 1 point ahead of the Golden Bears and 3 behind leader Trinity Western. And it's those very TWU Spartans the Thunderbirds will face Friday night at Thunderbird Park. The match kicks off at 7:15. On the women's side of UBC soccer, the Thunderbirds were not nearly as productive offensively as their men's counterpart, but defensively, every bit as stingy in earning back-to-back 0-0 draws this past weekend. The T-Birds played scoreless for 90 minutes against both the Fraser Valley Cascades on Friday and the Victoria Vikes on Saturday. Thunderbirds find themselves with an even steeper uphill battle now in the standings because they are still 3 places short of the last playoff spot. UBC's fifth-year goalkeeper Jacqueline Dunnett is now on a 3-match streak of clean sheets, but it's the players in front of her who need to step up and capitalize on their scoring chances to give UBC a shot at climbing up the standings from 7th place. With 6 matches remaining in conference play, the T-Birds trail 4th-place Alberta by 4 points for the last playoff spot. Upcoming this weekend, UBC hosts the Lethbridge Pronghorns and the Calgary Dinos. Kickoff is at 5 o'clock Friday afternoon and at 7 Saturday night at Thunderbird Park.
And thanks to Jason Wang for that report. And as he mentioned, the women's team trailing Alberta for the final playoff spot in the Canada West in women's soccer. And not a lot of opportunities left to pick up points as 5 of their final contests come against teams that are ahead of them in the Canada West standings. But of course, the men's team in a much better position. Now the sole possession of 2nd place in the Canada West. To field hockey, well, maybe some home field advantage played a factor for the University of Calgary Dinos. It was a very cold and snowy couple of days on the weekend as the UBC Thunderbirds paid a visit. The Dinos celebrating a Thanksgiving weekend in style Sunday, handing UBC their 2nd loss of the season, and it was the Dinos' first win over UBC since 2000, a 2-1 score at Hawkins Field out at out in Calgary. Earlier today, I spoke with third-year midfielder Robin Pendleton. They practiced during the show like the football team. We spoke about that and what lies ahead for the very little bit of the season that lies ahead. Robin, your team earned a split in Calgary over the weekend, falling 2-1 to the Dinos in the Sunday rematch. What was the difference between that game and the one on Saturday?
On Sunday, we just weren't able to put the ball in the net. We had some chances, we just weren't able to finish them. So that ultimately made the big difference.
The conditions weren't exactly summer-like in Calgary for either game. What's it like playing in snow?
It's awful. We live in BC for a reason. It doesn't snow here, really. So that was definitely a big change. I think our whole team's not really used to that kind of weather. None of us, like, we have one girl from PEI, but other than that, we're all from BC. So it's hard to hold the stick, that's for sure.
Was it worse on Sunday? Did that play a factor, perhaps?
It was actually snowing during the game on Sunday, which was a bit different, but I don't think, like, I mean, the weather conditions shouldn't really affect us all that much, so I wouldn't say it was a determining factor.
Okay. You had a split with Alberta as well 2 weekends ago, although the one thing your coach pointed out is the playing surface at Foote Field isn't ideal for field hockey, it's better for football. How would you describe the difference between playing on field turf and say, AstroTurf, like you have at Wright Field?
It's like day and night, like playing on a water-based turf like we are. It's a completely different game. So the turf definitely was not like a factor in Calgary. Like we should, it's exactly the same as their one here. So
Now you get the Pandas again this weekend, but you're at home for those two games. What are some things your team needs to work on in practice this week, do you think?
We definitely need to work on finishing the ball and our short corner defense. That's Alberta. They have this one really good girl who can take a drag flick off short corners, and that's how they rely on most of scoring their goals. Mm-hmm. So we definitely need to work on shutting her down.
Defensively, this team really seems to be on track, just 6 goals allowed in 8 games, second only to Victoria's 4 goals allowed. You must be pleased with that, and maybe a thought on the play of your rookie goalie.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Dina's been great for us, like playing. She's had a couple shutouts, which is good. She's still learning a ton and improving a lot, which is awesome. And our defense is pretty solid, like, all around. With a few opportunities that teams do get, they usually shut them down. So we're pretty happy about that.
Now, not to look too far ahead, but at least a little bit anyways, your team is in solid position to finish first and take the Canada West title, especially since you've already won 2 games against the UVic Vikes. Are you getting that itch to get the playoffs going and make some noise, especially with the tournament being in Victoria again this year?
It's always, exciting to look ahead, but at the same time, we still just need to get through the regular season, and then the playoffs are a whole other story. Like, our whole record throughout the Can West is just erased, and it's basically like another season, just those 5 games at Nationals. So it is exciting, but at the same time, we just need to finish off strong in our last few games.
Bronze medal finish at the Nationals last year. Certainly, I'm sure that's disappointing for most of the girls on your team. I talk about the itch to get the playoffs going. Is there extra motivation to make up for that? Because it seemed going into that tournament last year, the Birds were in pretty good position to make it to the final anyway.
Absolutely. I think no one on our team would be satisfied with anything less than a gold medal at Nationals. But, it's like for, I think we have 7 rookies or 6 or 7, so it's going to be their first time in this kind of tournament. So I think they're especially excited, and we know that we have to win every game at Nationals if we want the gold medal. So,
all right, Robin, we appreciate your time. Good luck, and hopefully no snow in the lower mainland going forward.
Thank you.
Third-year midfielder Robin Pendleton of the UBC Thunderbirds women's field hockey team talking about what happened in Calgary. The snow kind of throwing a curveball at them there, and also talking about how they've done against Alberta, who they'll be facing again this coming weekend at Wright Field. And then they finish up the regular season after that with 2 more against the UVic Vikes, who the Thunderbirds are already 2-0 against this season. So UBC's in very good position to finish first in the Canada West and take the conference title.
Never played field hockey in the snow. I can't relate.
Yeah. I can't imagine it's very easy.
No, it could be fun.
Yeah. If you can handle the cold, which she was alluding to there.
I can see, something they're used to. And they can't do it. You dress in snow gear.
Yeah.
You get the gloves on. You get the snow pants on. Drink a little booze. You're good to go.
That's right.
They can't do that,
no.
You see?
No, they can't.
It's more like a fun play game in the snow. Not like them. Not like an organized,
competitive
field
important
hockey
game.
Yeah, can't go there.
Yeah.
I can't go there. Well, yeah, that'll do it for our show.
Yeah.
Our next CITR sports broadcast, Tyler, will be Friday night.
Yeah, CITR Sports Friday. Men's hockey is the feature this week as the UBC Thunderbirds men's team returns from their very successful road trip against the Regina Cougars. They'll take on the Manitoba Bisons, a more formidable opponent, in their home opener. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock. Puck drop at 7:30 from Thunderbird Arena. We'll have the rematch as well Saturday night. Same thing, pregame at 7 and puck drop at 7:30. And a very busy weekend for us as we also have the 32nd edition of the Shrum Bowl from Simon Fraser University. Our pregame show, a special one-hour edition of that at 12 noon with our Jeff Sargent, and then kickoff just after 1 o'clock here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Yeah, ups and downs for UBC sports all around this past week. Solid weekend for the men's hockey team, women's hockey. But the hockey both did okay.
Yeah.
A big disappointment, you know, of course, we talk about the football team just getting destroyed on television by the Saskatchewan Huskies, 44-7. Big disappointment there. The women's soccer, that's just a weird one. Normally competing for national championships, in danger of missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's going on in field hockey, losing to Calgary in the snow. There you have it.
Well, it was a split. They did win the first game, so.
But they lost in the snow.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
Yeah.
I try. And so what's up now?
What do you mean?
With you?
Well, we have our internal CITR programmers funding drive meeting. The funding drive is coming up in November. I believe this is the fourth one or the third one now that the station is doing. So it's going to... Mike here is looking excited about it.
Mike, my question with Mike is, so you're doing your show during the meeting.
There's also a meeting tomorrow.
You have to come back tomorrow.
Yes.
See, I kind of hit the jackpot with the time, I really do.
You might want to be careful with the keyboard there, Daryl, before we get more random noises.
Boy, oh boy. Picking out my foibles.
$8 on parking this week.
What's that?
$8 on parking this week.
Coming out here.
Yeah. Having to come twice. Yeah.
I found a scam. Thank everybody for listening.
You're not supposed to say that on the air.
I don't want to lie about it. You know, I don't want to lie about it. I actually have to go to traffic court tomorrow morning.
Oh my goodness!
I've got to go to traffic court tomorrow morning.
What did you do now?
This is crap. Is I made a left-hand turn on about 7th and Granville. In between 3 and 6.
Okay.
But it was one of those.
Yeah.
It was one of those situations where there was no traffic around. Nobody was there. It was just after 3. It was like 3:05 or 3:10. And the cops were just sitting there picking us off like ducks. Or fish in a barrel, whatever the... Like, there was like a bunch of us pulled over. Yeah. So I'm just going to go there and, you know, this is my right to dispute this ticket. And even if I'm guilty, at least I get to eat up some of that policeman's time and give him some, you know.
You know, one of my biggest pet... There's two pet peeves I have when I'm driving. One is HOV lane offenders. That one really annoys me. The other one, though, is people who can't read the no left turn signs, Daryl.
What's the HOV one? What's that one?
Oh, people that cheat on the HOV lane. If you're supposed to have two or three in your car and it's just one person... That's cheating. If it's a bus-only lane and you use it, that's cheating.
Who cares?
Everybody's waiting patiently on Seymour Street to go the 5 blocks or whatever it is during rush hour. The curb lane is a bus-only lane, and you see people cheating using the lane. It's very, very agitating.
And then they try to get back in.
Yes.
Ah. They get mad at you when you don't
let them. Once they get up the HOV, the bus lane and get stuck behind a bus that's supposed to be there, then they want back in.
I always cheat on the left-hand turn lanes. I do it. Two, three, four times.
Shouldn't say that on the air. Either.
I do it. No, because I live just off of the DeBard Street Bridge. I got to make a left on. I can either go all the way around Yale Town. That's what legally you're supposed to do, or I just kind of find my gap and I make a left. But
you back up traffic all the way up.
No, not really, because I kind of wait for the oncoming traffic to have a red. So sometimes I'll go a little further down, and you just find the little gap. But there have been instances. Where I have held up. Don't shake your head at me.
I'm shaking my head.
Don't you shake your head at me. I do that. I do that. I don't even think twice about that one. I do not even think twice about that one. However, I am in traffic court tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning. I am guilty. I am guilty here. But it was absolute garbage that
Well, you better hope that the traffic people are not listening to this broadcast.
I'm going to give a reason, but we'll see.
Anything you say can and will be used against you, isn't that how it goes?
My thing is it was just a total and in these it was a total cash grab what they were doing to us there. And we should be ashamed that our police that this is what they're doing.
Yeah, well, the motor vehicle.
Should I give that speech?
That sounds pretty good.
Is that the speech?
You're just after a cash grab.
No, you do you know what I mean though? There was nobody around. See, you guys are just against me because I make that left hand turn coming
that's
off
right.
Burrard.
Yeah.
That's why I'm being teamed up again.
We're the ones that do the three right hand turns to go left.
200 that would take time to do that.
But it'd be legal.
That
it would save you $100 for the fine or whatever.
No, I've never got a fine making. They don't. Cops never do that. I've never even seen it once.
Ticket, whatever the ticket price was.
Yeah, no, I'm talking the one off of Burrard. They know. If you do it right, you kind of just wait for the left. You slow down a bit, and
did you not see the cops?
Oh, the one on Granville.
Yeah,
is what you're talking about. That one didn't think anything of it. It was just after 3. There was the thing on this one is there was no cars. There wasn't a car within 2 blocks coming at me.
The sign says no left turn, Daryl.
But it was like between 3 and 6.
Yeah.
But it was like 3:05 or something. Like it was bad.
3:06.
It was bad. Yeah. You're really taking the cop side on this one. And he was just like it was one of those things where they're writing me a ticket and then other people would and they'd wave him over. I should have just gunned it.
Mm-hmm.
I should have just gunned it.
That's a great message for the younger people that may be listening to it.
I have
just the hole's getting deep, Daryl.
Just gun it now.
Flee from the cops. That's a great message.
Your thoughts though on this ticket? I have. You honestly think
it does seem a little bit heavy-handed? The fact that there was nobody affected by your illegal left turn.
No, it wasn't an illegal left turn.
Yes, it was.
Oh, by the letter of the law, it was illegal. But I mean, it's illegal from 3 to 6, and the reason it's illegal from 3 to 6 is that they don't want traffic to be. But I'm not breaking that law. I'm not affecting traffic. Like, the reason for the law, which is fine. Okay, you don't want people making that left-hand turn there. I wasn't doing that. I wasn't offending that.
Yeah, but how do you measure what is an effect on the traffic? I mean, that's a gray
area. Okay, then those cops shouldn't have been there at 3.
Right.
They should not, and they should not have been there at 3. Go at 4. Pick us off at 4.
Doesn't matter what time, it's still in between the time.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, and you know what I'm saying, too.
But would you make that left turn again?
I do it, of course I would. This time I look to see if the cops are there.
Your goal is to make sure you don't try to do that again.
Oh, that's not going to deter me.
So you're a chronic offender, then?
Huh?
No.
Well, the best I ever did was somehow I ran a stop sign and won that. I'll never figure that one out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We should go.
I love going to court. I've loved it since I was a teenager. I love going to court and fighting these tickets. I get a thrill out of it.
Never been to court.
You never done traffic court? Oh, it's a wonderful group of people. They should have like little breakfast set up for you.
I'm getting a good lesson right here.